Good morning again. This is Brother Ephraim with the Fountain of Life Daily Inspiration. I hope you're seeking the Lord this morning. You're hungry and thirsty in your heart. Yesterday we were talking about a legalistic relationship with the Lord versus a personal one. And we had gotten so far as to say that the rich are often legalistic, and I didn't really expound on that much. I wanted to expound that a little more. Just for example, recently I was working at a job site where a very wealthy person was getting a old bank barn, stone barn, converted into a house. And there was a little silo beside the barn, and the silo was supposed to hold a stairway for getting up into the barn. And just the amount of work that they were sinking and the amount of money that they were sinking into this place was phenomenal. That the original plans would have held out to be about $5 million till they were done. And he thought that was a little too much. So he cut back on the plans to about $3 or $4 million. But he still wanted what he wanted, so he kept getting what he wanted and adding to and all this and that. And by the time they were done, it was up to $6 or $7 million just for a residence, just for an old barn to be converted into a house and all the landscapings and the extras and the couple outbuildings and all this and that got done there. Just imagine, this person could have lived in, he could have built something or converted this barn, let's say for $1 million. That's a lot of money for a house. But let's say he could have done it for $1 million. This would have saved him $5 or $6 million that he could have used otherwise. And just consider how many people in the world that could have clean water with $5 or $6 million. Or how many hungry could be fed, how many naked could be clothed. And I don't want to be too critical of this man, but just use him as an example that the rich are legalistic in that since they have the money, they think legally they have the right to use it how they please. But it is not so. God has granted us the things that we have, and we are accountable to how we use it. We need to be good stewards. If we're not, God will demand accountability for it. And if we are good stewards, we can hear those words someday, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I pray that this would be your testimony, that you can hear that. Another trait of a legalistic person is that he always wants to know what's in it for himself. You know, you have a hard time convincing somebody to do anything unless they know that there's some benefit in it for themselves. That's a very selfish way to live, but the legalistic are often that way. He has an extremely hard time being consistent because he's seeking for loopholes. You know, if you seek to follow something to the letter rather than to the spirit, you're going to be seeking loopholes. And one time you need one loophole, and the next time you need another loophole, and you have a hard time being consistent. And he usually finds a loophole to get what he wants, get where he wants to go, and get what he wants. He loves to be at the steering wheel, so he can create his own laws and his own rules, and doesn't have somebody else doing it for him. The legalistic person loves the praise of man. What's the downfall of America? This is a whole other subject, but I believe it's larger than the breakup of families, the unfaithfulness in marriage, and dads not being at home with their family, and the whole thing of unfaithfulness and marriage morality breaking apart. But, you know, people find ways to excuse themselves, and they twist scripture to try to justify themselves. This is a legalistic approach. They don't want to obey the Bible, the spirit of the Bible. They don't want to obey the spirit of the commandments about faithfulness in marriage and no divorce, no remarriage, fathers being there, nurturing their children. So they find a way to construe the word to where, yeah, they're doing it because they look at it some legalistic way, and well, let's consider Mark 10, verse 2. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? The Pharisees there were legalistic. They were looking at the law, seeing if it couldn't be lawful or legalistic or legal for a man to put away his wife. But Jesus, he pointed them back to the beginning, at what God had created and the way God wanted it. And he brought them to attention to what the spirit of the New Testament, as well as the old, would have been requiring, rather than the law. Godly families are very precious in God's sight. Let me ask you a question. Why is there so much fuss about abortion in churches where immorality is rampant? I don't believe in abortion. I believe it's wrong, definitely. But if there's fornication and adultery and many gross sins in a church, why is the church quiet on that and then make a lot of fuss about abortion? It's probably, for one, trying to soothe their conscience, trying to make it appear like they do care about righteousness. But another, there's been a lot of legalistic emphasis in the scriptures or in their way of dealing with scripture, and they find ways of excusing what they want to excuse and ways of condemning what they want to condemn. Another illustration on being legalistic or having a personal relationship with the Lord. I'm speaking of ministers now in the church as they preach the word and as they administer whatever it takes to be a minister in a church. Specifically more when they're preaching the letter of the law rather than the spirit, they will always pick and choose. You know, the letter, as we already said, gives loopholes while the spirit doesn't. And if you're going to approach scripture legalistic, you're going to have to pick and choose because you can't fit it all together. It's like a puzzle. When you put a puzzle together, I usually start with the border, put the border together, and then go towards the inside. Well, if you're following the puzzle to the letter, it's like ignoring the picture, just going by the shape. So you're getting these are the puzzles, and you're putting it together. And like I said, you ignore the picture, but yeah, this piece fits here. It doesn't fit the greatest, but if I can push it a little extra hard, it'll fit there. I can make it fit. But what happens? All of a sudden, the puzzle isn't very pretty anymore because the picture isn't matching up. And every time you put a piece in the wrong place, you're going to have a bigger mess because you have more pieces that won't fit. And you keep going, and you find yourself more and more putting pieces where they shouldn't be, you know, kind of forcing them into place. And that's exactly how we do with the scriptures. If we approach it in a legalistic way, we misapply. And every time we misapply a scripture, it's so much harder to make sense of all the rest. Well, I think maybe I've spoken about enough about this subject. I have some more notes here, but I think I hit the points that I mostly wanted to hit. And The time's about up again. So God bless you. If you want to leave a message, 099 will take you to the general voicemail. I hope you have a wonderful day. Goodbye.